Hey, it's me, Yamini, and you're listening to Pillow Fight. If you want more of us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Pillow Fight Pod. If you love us, leave us a review in the Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen to podcasts. We've got an amazing episode in store for you, so buckle up. Thanks so much for listening.
Pillow Fight, Pillow Fight.
Is yours made of goose?
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is it so fun?
Pillow fight.
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Shelby Wolstein, a Los Angeles-based writer, actor, and comedian. She's also the co-host of the podcast Keeping Records with her platonic husband, Caleb Heron. You can find more of Shelby on Instagram and Twitter at Shelby Wolstein. In this episode, we discuss weird celebrity parenting, which gyms are secretly cults, and all the ways we scam teachers back in the day.
Fuck. Mary? Kill. Fuck, Mary, kill.
So, for the fuck, Mary, kill, you mentioned to me that you just found out that Alicia Silverstone baby birds her son, which I didn't know, but
Did you Google it?
I did Google it. And this made me think about what other weird things that celebrity parents do with their children. So this just had me thinking about some celebrities and how they parent, because it must be like a strange world being parented by celebrities. So I have three scenarios. First off, of course, when her son was an infant, Clueless star Alicia Silverstone was seen baby birding her son, which is a technique that's named after the practice by which birds feed their young. So they chew up their food and then they kind of like spit it into their children's mouth. And that's how the babies have their food. Number two is Snooki. So Jersey Shore star Snooki did her homework before having children. In the few months leading up to motherhood, she carried a baby doll around with her everywhere she went to practice for what it would be like to have a baby around with her everywhere she went. And number three, Christina Aguilera keeps several artistic female nudes hung throughout her house in order to teach her son a lesson about women who are sexually empowered. So Alicia
Are they of her?
I don't think they're of her. She says she's an art collector. So I think that they are just like fancy art. So Alicia Silverstone's baby birding, Snooki's Barbie doll baby, and Christina Aguilera's house full of nudes, fuck, marry, kill, these parenting techniques, what would you do?
I guess it's tough because I'm like, okay, I actually kind of agree with Christina Aguilera on it being powerful, but ultimately, like, imagine inviting a friend over to your house. So I'm like, I think I have to fuck that. I don't think I can marry it. But then I'm like, well, which one do I marry? And I do think the baby doll is the least weird. And then you have to kill. Like, I can deal with a baby doll being around all the time. I cannot deal with someone like regurgitating their food into a baby all the time. So you can't marry baby birding. I think you have to kill baby birding. You have to marry the baby doll and you have to fuck the tasteful nudes.
What do you think like Snooki could have learned from doing that with a doll?
I literally don't know, because unless it's one of those, because I had a doll growing up. This is mortifying. My siblings make fun of me for this all the time. I begged for this and took it everywhere with me. A doll that did poop.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had to put a mixture in there to make sure it would poop. There was like, there's a process involved in that. So if you're getting one of those, I mean, you at least have sort of that aspect.
Papers to change. Yeah.
Feeding it to make sure it poops, letting it poop, figuring out the poop, but like you have no repercussions. The baby fall. Like, I literally think for her, it was, I'm going to lose this baby. I'm going to not. I think for her, it was like, if I don't learn how to keep something with me all the time, I will lose my baby physically. And so it wasn't about responsibility of like taking care of a kid so much as it was like, if I go out, I can't lose the kid. I got to keep it with me.
I'm just like, how is that different than carrying around like a purse? Like in the functionality of the thing being kind of the same in that it's just kind of like there and you're kind of carrying it. It's not.
She's used to the purse. She's already has the purse. She's got the purse with her.
Now she's it's like phone, wallet, keys, mask, baby.
It's like she has to get a new rhythm in mind.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, phone, wallet, keys, baby.
Yeah.
And now she's reminding herself. It's putting yourself in the rhythm before, you know,
there's whatever works. I respect that. You know, if it made her a better mom, then
go off. I once literally like watched a woman put her baby on the floor at the train station and had to like, and it was one of the scariest moments of my life. I almost acquired the baby.
The thing about parenting is that anyone can have a baby, but like, why does everyone get to raise a baby?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not advocating for eugenics or anything here. Like, I think everyone should be able to reproduce freely, but I don't know if everyone should be able to like be a parent.
I was listening to something like 2 days ago where they were like, oh, it was Elliot Glazer on some podcast. Don't know which one. I don't know her last name, so I'm not going to say the podcast name. Her first name's Naomi. and he was like, I think if you're going to have a baby, the government should make you get therapy first.
Yeah.
And then they say like, okay.
I really think that right now, any expense I'm incurring into like bettering my mental health should become a tax write-off once I have children.
Yes.
Like, I'll save it up for then.
Yeah. It's like, okay, how much therapy did you do? And it's like, all right, that is free diapers. That is that you are set on so many things because you have taken care of yourself, your brain, your mind. Yeah. My mom has joined sort of like a cult. And the cult is, and I know that sounds like I'm kidding, but I really don't think I am. I haven't been, but my understanding is it is a cult. And it is actually making her a better person. I think that is the thing about cults. It's like, there's a reason you get into it. There's a reason it sucks you in. And she like really is getting in touch with herself, but ultimately is also like falling deeper into the arms of the cult.
What?
And it is.
What makes you think it's a cult? What is like?
Oh, everything about it. It's called Psy. You have to like get more people to join as you become part of it. And you go to these retreats for like a month and you pay for them for it. And it becomes your whole life. Like all of her friends now are from Psy. All of her, everything is Psy. Everything she does is Psy. And I'm like, damn. Okay. And she keeps being like, you should join. And I'm like, I don't want to, I'm not gonna, but she is in a cult.
When does an MLM become a cult? At what point?
I think it's a certain,
because to me, this is sounding MLM,
but there's no product. There's no product.
Okay. Well,
an MLM becomes a cult when there's no product involved.
Okay. I think some of them, they're like, is there really a product that you're selling here? Or is it kind of an ideology or kind of a vague thing with no lines or limitations? Like, what do they do on their retreats?
Vibe. I really don't even know. Like, my mom keeps trying to get me to go to one. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to. Mostly because it sounds really bad. And one of my mom's friends went with her to one because my mom like begged. And she like wasn't allowed out. Like once you went in, you weren't allowed out. And she had to sneak through the bathroom door window.
Oh, okay.
Cult.
Yeah.
Not an MLM.
Could your mom like leave the group now if she wanted to?
I really don't know. I think it would be hard. My mom's friend went to like the one, like a day thing. And then they were like, okay, now everyone has to commit to the next week. And she was like, oh, I'm good. And they were like, no. And she was like, what? And she was like, I couldn't get out of it. Like, I kept trying. I was giving excuses. They were countering. And she was like, so I said I had to go to the bathroom and I snuck out the window.
Okay, this is like canceling a gym membership, though.
Yeah. Well, gyms are cults.
Have you ever canceled a gym membership?
I have absolutely canceled a credit card instead. I don't know how to cancel a gym membership. And I've instead been like, I'm challenging this with my bank.
They are difficult to to cancel. And to the point where I was looking for an apartment recently, and I spent a lot of time trying to find an apartment with that had a fitness center in the basement, because I knew that it was easier to break a lease than to cancel a gym membership. And I was like, you know what, if I need to leave, I'll be able to leave, and I can leave the treadmills behind too. But I do not know how to leave a gym. And I did some sort of like few months discounted gym membership when I was in LA doing an internship a few years ago. And I thought I had canceled it, and they were still like charging me like some tiny fee a month. That was like the fee that I paid to park for an extra 30 minutes every day, as opposed to like just an hour. It was very, very convoluted, but it seems like that's like, they're really getting into the cult model.
Yeah, I do think some gyms are cults. Some gyms aren't.
Yeah,
but some gyms really super are. Like Equinox. Equinox is a cult.
Yeah, Barry's Bootcamp, cult.
Barry's Bootcamp, cult. But then like, oh, what's the one with the orange? Orange Theory. Not a cult. People don't like it as much. CrossFit, cult.
Cult.
CrossFit is a religious cult.
Yeah, CrossFit is like Christian. CrossFit is like...
yeah, CrossFit is a Christian cult. But... you know, Equinox is more of a rich people cult.
Equinox is like kind of on par with Scientology to me.
Yeah.
They've got some of the like celebs in there, and then they've got some regular people, and someone's going to leave. There's going to be a documentary one day where some star comes out and exposes Equinox. So.
And I can't wait. Yeah. But the thing about Equinox is that it does look beautiful. Okay. It does. The machines are all like black and white. I'm like, sure. Why not? I don't know how it is different, because the machines at any gym I've ever belonged to are also black, but somehow different. They're not sleek. The ones at Equinox are chic.
Yeah. I think they like just, you know, they don't sweat. They glow, those machines, just like the people inside.
Yeah.
You know, just something about it. I think you kind of like, when you walk through the doors, they spray some sort of like Wizard of Oz thing on you, and you kind of look and you're like, it's aspirational. I don't know. I think branding is a huge part of it for sure. I'm wondering if you have to wean a baby off of baby birding the same way that you wean them off of breastfeeding.
I mean,
you can't do it forever.
Can it be good for your digestive system to not have to digest your food? Like, their bodies aren't learning how to digest food like normal people.
Yeah, but see, I learned how to digest food like normal people, and I'm still not okay. So
that's,
I don't
so
know.
Fair. That's I so think, fair. Is it, you know, is it ultimately the same as baby food, just made sort of in an organic way? Like, baby food is mashed up food.
I think, okay? Gwyneth Paltrow is like a few like contracts away from chewing up food, spitting it out, putting it in a jar, and selling it on Goop. So
I'll buy. Just kidding. I don't like Gwyneth, but I would buy just for the joke.
But I think I might fuck that situation, the baby birding your child, because I honestly find it kind of like funny. I think it's like,
it is funny.
I'm like, people, it, yeah, I don't see how it's that different really from baby food. And maybe it's like, you know, I get to try some new foods, and, you know, I don't have to do the work of digesting them, but I can, you know, try some fun flavors and then share.
I do have some, there are pros and cons. Okay. One pro for the mom: you can eat whatever you want. Like, I could have French fries,
yeah,
fully taste them and not
digest them.
No consequence on my body. I do have a question though. And it's like, what is the transport process? Are we making, am I macking with my kid? I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to either. I think best situation is like, there's like I don't want to spit it out either. I think a tube is like the best way. Or I could just spit it out in a bowl and have the kid eat it. Also, I was the kind of baby who never ate anything. Like, I had a friend who was a year and a half younger than me, who when I was age 6 used to have to come over and feed me. Because I was just the kind of baby who just would not eat. Like, I refused to do it unless somebody was like putting the food in my mouth. And I think that this may have like been fun for me. So
Well, it makes it a collaborative process.
Yeah.
And everyone loves to collaborate.
You know, there's the pressure is not entirely on me to like do this, you know?
There also is that, like, you know how some kids like won't eat food unless their parents take a bite because they're like, it's bad. I know it's bad.
Yeah.
There's that, but they're still not eating it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They're still spitting it back up.
Also, yeah. Are you then teaching your kid to spit their food out? Because that's an annoying thing that some kids I babysit will do, is like not like really? Something and spit it out.
I don't know. This is also the things I hate. I've always hated people who were like terribly picky eaters, not in a way that like they just didn't like certain things, but that they wouldn't try certain things. And yes. I don't know if that's like, if that would better or reinforce that kind of behavior. You know, the kind of kid who only brings chicken nuggets and like Hawaiian rolls to lunch?
I knew a kid who, honest to God, would only eat a food if it was like pale beige. Plain noodles, toast, Cheerios, like all he would eat. And he was like my best friend when I was a kid. So anytime I went over there, I was like, great, I guess I'm eating white food. I don't know. Like,
does he have, the color white now?
I don't know. He just got engaged. He goes to a lot of Ren fairs.
Whoa. Well.
And I'm not saying that that's bad or good.
I think
I'm just saying.
I just don't know a lot of people who love Ren fairs. You know?
Yeah, he seems like he's gotten kind of weird. Is the problem?
Does he like, what's the other thing called, medieval times?
He would love that.
Okay, I feel like I loved that as a kid too, but I don't remember.
I went for like a field trip.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And it was cool.
Uh huh.
I remember feeling like a little left out because I don't eat meat, and they had like those massive chicken legs, turkey legs, chicken legs, something.
Yes.
And everyone was like chowing down and they gave me some like minestrone soup. I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
I think I was also vegetarian at the time that I went to medieval times. I stopped being vegetarian at, I had a reverse journey the same way that I came to my bisexuality in a reverse way, and that I started with women and then found men. I grew up 10 years of my life vegetarian and then slowly started eating fish and chicken and occasionally some red meat.
A real Benjamin Button's journey.
Yeah, I think I've had a lot of backwards experiences. But yeah, I don't know. So I don't know about this. I think I'm going to fuck the baby birding.
Have at. I love that for you. I won't kink shame.
I think that the Christina Aguilera having the nudes in her home could backfire. It could be a kid who becomes very ashamed of like having friends over because like mommy has naked women all over the walls. And then he grows up to become an incel and resents his mother for having, you know, like for being empowered in her sexuality. I think maybe we need like more of like just a care and keeping of you kind of book situation. I don't think we need like female nudes, like Art Institute gallery on the walls.
Right.
So
you're marrying the baby doll.
Yeah. Just like you. You also married the baby doll.
I married the baby doll.
And I think that, you know, no harm, no foul. There is gain for Snooki here in that she is learning how to be a mother. There is no con for anyone around her except they have to see a grown woman carrying around a baby doll, which, you know, fun. Honestly, we need more of that kind of energy.
It's fun.
I spent the last year not seeing anyone. I would have loved to see, you know,
someone holding a baby doll.
A Jersey Shore star carrying around a doll in the grocery store. Like, I would have loved that. And I think that, you know, if it made her feel like confident when her baby came, good for her. Like, she's making the right moves. I think the Alicia Silverstone thing, and like that could be gross. It could have negative impact consequences, you know, but it intrigues me. The Christina Aguilera thing that also sounds like kind of expensive to, you know, have to collect that much art to teach your son about empowered women.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people teach their kids for free.
So I think the Snooki thing I would marry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have too many questions to fuck the Alicia Silverstone thing. I just think it's like, you know, when someone hasn't been tested and you're like, I'm not so sure. That's how I feel about it.
But you've never fucked anyone who you'd have a bunch of questions about, because I've done that a lot of times.
I Really, really touche. Really, really, really touche.
I think like the Christina Aguilera thing reminds me of like in college, some like really hot, like really smart person who like gets around a lot, who I'm like almost like not fun enough for me, that it's like so perfect seeming, like, or so successful. Like I want to challenge. And
I want
so,
a mess. I want a little mess.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Not to marry, but like to fuck. Yeah, I would like a little mess.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Like I feel in this game of fuck, marry, kill that marry and kill are much closer options than
yeah, they're absolutes. Yeah. They're absolutes.
Yeah. Cause what does fuck even mean? It's up to you. You know what killing is.
It's more of a concept. Yeah. Fuck is more of a concept.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Last week, two episodes ago, we did Fuck, Marry, Kill about a lot of people's responses to cancel culture. And I posted a clip on Instagram of me saying that I would fuck Joe Rogan, saying that white men wouldn't be allowed to go outside anymore because of cancel culture, because I think that would be fun, because white men, I hope that what he's saying comes true. And I hope that they don't get to go outside anymore. And like, just, you know, the streets hang are free of them. Yeah. And yeah. So many people are like, you would fuck this situation. Like you're sick in the head. Like you would fuck the idea of people having to be locked up in their homes. And yet you say that you're, you know, progressive who believes in like, you know, decarceral. I'm like, okay.
The internet is perfect and there's not a single thing wrong with it. When we created the internet, we knew what we were doing. We did it right the first time. No notes.
No notes at all. I feel like I've referenced this on this podcast so many times that it always just feels so relevant because so much of what I talk about on this is like pop culture and the internet. But I once read that humans are only evolved to know like 40 people, or like to be able to perceive of like 40 people, because our brains haven't evolved from like the time when we were in this way, from when we were like cavemen, to only being able to conceptualize of like two social circles outside of our own. And so now that we kind of can know anyone we want.
Yeah, I can know the world.
It's very much an overload, but I think about that a lot, and how I'm like, what 40 people would I put in that circle? I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. My friend Kennedy Baldwin has a game that she's made me play before that is like, I don't know why this made me think of it. Maybe it's stupid, but I will say it. It is, so you're having a party.
Mm-hmm.
You can only invite 8 people.
Okay.
But you can't tell people who are invited. So like you tell everyone that you're having a party and only your 8 closest friends or something are supposed to show up. How many people of that 8 will show up, and how many people thinking they're in that 8 will show up and shouldn't? And then like, we've done like naming names and stuff, being like, oh, I think this person would show up, but they wouldn't be in my 8. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't need to explain that well.
I think I would have like 5 that would be true. And then there would be 3 probably. And the 3
direction.
Stragglers would not be like my second tier, like the next 8. They would be like people in
so far off.
Yeah.
So far off that like text a lot and you're like, what's happening?
I think people are like, you're very nice and I like you, but you definitely think that we are best friends and I don't know anything about you.
Yeah, it's really hard. Maybe it was supposed to be like 5. I just remember once I sat there and I was like, I don't even know how to narrow down my 5.
Mm-hmm.
So then how could anyone narrow down if they're in the 5? And then there's also the people who'd be like, maybe I'm not in her 5. And then it's like, well, that's really sad. If they're in my 5, they don't think it.
Yeah.
It's a tough
thought experiment. How many people's 5s do you think that you would be in?
That's the other thing. It's like, if I knew this was happening, there are so many people's parties I wouldn't go to just out of the fear of being like,
would you find out?
Turned away at the door. I would be so scared to be turned away at the door that I would just be like, yeah, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to know the truth. Schrodinger's cat. I don't have to know. If I don't go, I don't have to know.
Yeah. I think it's like, weird to know. I used to know a friend group in college who literally had a social hierarchy that was not really spoken aloud, but often alluded to, where there were like three people at the top. And then there was like the next tier of like wingmen. And then at the bottom, there were these like people who, when it benefited
them, you're talking about a sorority.
But I guess some of them were in a sorority, but like it was a specific, one specific friend group I knew in college. I don't want, everyone who I went to college with is going to know exactly who I'm talking about when they hear this. That's all I need to say. but it was actually absurd the way that they operated. And then there were like people at the bottom who would like glom on to people in power, but they would kind of cycle through, you know, trendiness in the friend group. It was all very weird.
That's wild. There was kind of that in my middle school. I went to all girls school, and there was like,
that is a very middle school thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. There was, yeah. And they would name their group of friends. And so you would know if you weren't in it, because the names always had to do with the initials of the people in it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Brutal.
My high school was very, I'd named cliques, but they were all like very random.
I wish it was random. Instead, it was like, we are Kale. Like, I don't want to name names.
Katie, Alexa, Louisa, and Emma.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not Kale. Like, understood. And then you would go to like one of the sleepovers, and you'd be like, for today, we're Kales. So sad.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of Pen 15.
So truly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, do you want to go into the would you rather?
Would you rather, would you rather, would you rather? Let's play a game of would you rather.
Okay, so I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, Melania Trump wore a jacket that said, I don't really care, do you? While flying to go visit the border entertainment facilities. And now we have a new first lady, and Jill Biden wore a jacket that said love in like sparkly bedazzled letters to the G7 summit. And we hate Melania more than we hate Jill, but I have to say both of these jackets are very, very tacky and seem like they would have been sold at Forever 21 2008, but are now on a public scale in the 2010s. So would you rather have like a highlight of your career, whatever that might be? So winning an award, you know, going on some sort of tour or something, I don't know what that would be, whatever that means to you, captured while you're wearing like a hideous, hideous outfit that everyone tears apart, or in your laundry day underwear?
I'd be caught in my laundry. So am I not wearing pants?
Yeah, just caught in your laundry day underwear.
No pants.
Unless you're underwear.
Or is it just like peeking?
No. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know those bad dreams that people have where they're like,
yes,
kind of show up somewhere in their underwear? It wouldn't be like your career is captured in this, the highlight of your career is captured in your laundry underwear, but you're like, you are caught. You're caught out. With someone snags a paparazzi pic, or like a, you know, one of your friends shames you on your birthday with a picture of you in your laundry day underwear.
It's so relatable.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be one of the people.
Yeah, I think that
it doesn't read on me. It's not a read on me. It's like, oh, I just was, you caught me on a bad day. It has nothing to do with like a choice I made.
Yeah. I mean, it's a choice you made once whenever you bought that underwear, but I just think it's much more proletariat, and the weird outfits are 1%, because you always see very rich people at award ceremonies in the most fugly things. And I'm like, how do you pay that much for a stylist and yet have no taste?
Truly. Yeah. As soon as I have the money for a stylist, I'm going to look good and effortless at all times. No one's going to know that I'm styled, but I'm styled.
No one's going to know you're styled, and your stylist is going to revolt because you're not publicizing them.
No one's going to know that I'm paying them enough. they don't need me. If anyone asks, it'll be like an under the table thing. Like, oh, call her. She's great.
Yeah.
But no one's going to be like, damn, she has a stylist, huh?
I'm going to have a stylist, but we're going to have a serious talk. And if they ever put me in something that ugly and convince me of it, and then the next day Vanity Fair writes a tell-all about how hideous I look, I'm going public.
I'm going public. I'm secrets. Naming names. I'm naming names.
Because I don't know. Nope, nope, nope. I think it's really embarrassing to be caught in an 80s outfit.
It is. It's so much worse than underwear to me.
Yeah. Underwear is just underwear. Like, everyone wears it. Yeah. Like, who cares?
It's like, everyone has a really old pair of underwear that you're just sort of like, yeah, every once in a while I'm on my period and I got to wear them. Mm-hmm. What do you want from me?
And people who don't know you aren't really going to judge you for it as an adult, because it's like, yeah, like those weren't really meant for us to see anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like you're in middle school and everyone's like, ha, granny panties, when it's like, you're supposed to be wearing thongs by now. No. So I think it's way less embarrassing.
Way less.
Yeah.
It's not an intention. If you're wearing an ugly outfit, the intention was for it to be cool. It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing laundry underwear and you're caught, the intention was for it to never be seen.
Yes.
So you're like, oh, I mean, we all know what happened here. This is a mistake. Versus like, oh, I was totally off base in what I thought looked good. And and I have nobody close enough to me to tell me
that it was bad. Yeah. Yeah. I started having those nightmares about showing up to school in underwear, except during COVID, they were that I was showing up to places without masks. And I think that they're finally going to start stopping now that mask restrictions are being lifted, which is interesting. We'll see.
I've been rock climbing,
mm-hmm.
which, I hate to make public, but it is true. And my rock gym was like, so nobody has to wear masks anymore. For us, we're not going to make you wear, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask when you're climbing. If you're not vaccinated, you do, mm-hmm. but we will not check. So it's fully an honor system.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know about
I think like the Venn diagram of people who want to wear a mask and don't want to get vaccinated, like don't want to, yeah, is like very, very minimal overlap.
Yeah, it's like, if you didn't get vaccinated, I know you also don't really want to wear a mask at this gym. So like, then I'm like, so then I keep wearing a mask? Because I don't know who to trust in this gym, but then I'm like, then everyone's going to think I'm not vaccinated. And I am. It's a tricky slope.
Yeah. What if you just kind of like get one of those, maybe like you wear kind of one of those athletic shirts that is a kind of a turtlenecky thing, and you just kind of
tuck it.
Yeah.
I start like stitching on my mask, like vaccinated, just nervous.
I think that at a climbing gym, you're usually so far in the vertical air from someone else anyway. So
that's true for the most part. Although like every once in a while you're like, well, like someone like falls off the wall, like right next to you. You're like, oh,
yeah,
there you are.
Do you boulder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm never so powerful, so strong.
I was never very good at that, but I liked being attached to the rope and pulling.
Well, that feels much better, but you have to like have someone that one is belaying you and two is feeling your weight at all times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really want to be doing that.
There are some places that have like auto belays.
Yeah. I was told once at a bouldering gym that I'll never be very good because I'm not tall enough to be.
But I'm 5'1", and they told me at a bouldering gym that I was very impressive for my height.
For your height, that's the problem.
Yeah, but they gathered other employees in the gym to come watch at how skilled I was based on my height.
Liar.
So
you're lying.
Okay, they didn't gather other employees, but they did praise the shit out of me and said that I had very flexible limbs and incredible lower body strength that made up for my lack of vertical
height
credit.
Vertical prowess.
Credit. Yeah.
Yeah. I am roughly 5'1" as well. But if they set the rocks too far apart, I'm fucked. What am I going to do? Leap?
Yeah.
I don't have a rope. I'm not going to leap. I'm going to die.
Yeah. You're just going to fall backwards. And that's, I think, why I liked being attached to a bullet was because I could just kind of stand there and, like, you know, someone else is kind of taking care of me.
Sweating.
And I'm just. Yeah.
I like rock climbing with a rope. It's just there's another person involved. Sometimes you can get one from the gym. Sometimes you have to know one. Then you have to be like, cool, I'll go for it. It's like, what a negotiation. If you're bouldering, it's like, I get there. I get on the wall. Nobody bothers me. I'm done when I want to be done. Period.
I think I also like the release feeling of getting to the top and then just letting go and just coming down.
The like bouncing off the wall. I'm doing it again as if anyone that's listening to ever know what I'm doing. But where you like, poof, poof.
Yes.
That is one of the best feelings in the world. That is Willy Wonka in the bubble chamber.
They should have
weightlessness. That's
they should
NASA.
Offer a service at rock climbing gyms. That's just people get to do that. They take you to the top. They like push you all the way to the top, and you just get to like come down. It's like Tower of Terror, but you know, a more one-on-one experience.
Tower of kind of floating down. Tower of comfort.
The second would you rather is that I mentioned that we talked about three white men's opinions on cancel culture recently. Now I have a non-white man's opinion on cancel culture, which is that Kevin Hart said that he simply cannot make work without people shitting on it anymore. Yet he is also the most well-paid comedian around. I don't know, like in his life or in this time or whatever, but he is supposedly the most well-paid comedian. So he just produces a sheer volume of work, and most of it is not liked, but he's producing a lot. He's rich. It doesn't really matter. I don't know if he's making it for the love of the game or for the money, but I don't know if you would rather be rich as fuck and have none of your work have any positive critical reception, or make like very little money doing whatever it is that you actually want to do, but be universally regarded as like one of the most talented people. Just somehow like you've signed a deal with the devil that you can't keep any of the money you make doing it or something.
You can't keep, but you're successful. You just can't keep it.
Yeah, it's just like you're not making any money from it. You're making very, very little money from doing this, even though you are very successful. So you wouldn't be able to sustain your life on that.
I feel like it feels so noble to choose that one. But that is the one I want to choose. But I'm like, who the fuck do I think I am? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm like, I kind of want to be extra noble right now and pick the first one and then use the money to fund the second people. So I'll take the first one, I'll make the money, and then I'll give you a grant. I'll like give you a grant, but it you can't make money from doing what you do. So it'll be a gift in my
name.
It'll
be a gift. Yeah.
So I think that we've worked out a great little deal right there.
So then you're just, so in the first one, you're problematic.
Uh-huh. But
you're making up for it. You're doing damage control on your image.
Listen, I think that we won't achieve true representation until we have as many problematic queer women of color as we do cishet white men. And so I'm doing my part, contributing to diversity in the media.
Yeah, that's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it feels so self-congratulatory to be like, I would want the success, money or not. But
yeah, I mean, I think like if your parents are some sort of, if it's nepotism, that would work out. But I don't have that. I don't have that going for me.
I don't have that.
So, you know, why? I'm very curious. I didn't know. I didn't realize that Kevin Hart was the most well-paid comedian until this week, but
he does so many little things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing so many ads. He's kind of like Shaquille O'Neal, but Shaquille O'Neal rocks. I love Shaq. Yeah. Shaq deserves the world.
Yeah.
If I ever hear anything bad about Shaq, it'll break my heart.
Yeah.
But Shaq has like all these franchises. He does all these ads. He does like all those things. And so he's just like getting paid left and right. Kevin Hart's doing that too. Kevin Hart has like little videos with athletes that he does in the ice bath. And then he has like his big movies. Then he does like little shows and little appearances.
He's booked and busy.
Everything he does is little because he's so little.
Oh, that was like cute almost. I'm like, oh my gosh, same Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he's close to being cute, but then he's sort of like homophobic and stuff.
Yeah, again, we need better short kings. I'm lobbying for increased representation of minority groups, including villainous queer women of color and more, short kings who are allies to various communities.
Amber Risbud is on your list.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he's been on this podcast. He's 5'4". Anyone listening, if you're looking
short
for
king.
A progressive short king to put all your money behind.
It's gotta be Amber Risbud.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, you're all going to go to his page and tweet at him. You're our progressive short king. If you're still listening to the podcast, I would like that you do that. Okay. Thank you. Now that that's over.
Guys, thank you. That was awesome. I like how you put your little spin on it.
Would you like to play Truth or Dare?
Sure.
Or dare. All right, Shelby, truth or dare?
I guess dare. I don't know okay. What you could do to me on a pod, so I'm just choosing it.
Could you call someone close to you in your family or a friend or someone, describing a rash on your thigh in vivid detail, and I want you to suggest potential things that could have caused it, just kind of overall. Worry out loud about your thigh rash and ask if you should see a doctor about it, but only after you've exhausted all your worries about the thigh rash.
Okay, hold on. I can't do my mom because I've had so many bizarre rashes that she will, she would blast me. She would put me on blast.
I feel like everyone has a rash plug, which is like not really a plug, it's the opposite of a plug, but somebody that you send your weird like skin problems to and be like, what is, should I be worried? I feel like everyone has that one person in their life.
I once had a rash that when they finally figured out what it was, it turned out to be something that they hadn't seen since the 1920s.
What?
And I was like,
I didn't know you were like a rash queen. This is just coincidence.
Yeah, I'm a rashy bitch.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I have a question. Do you have a rash right now?
Tell me.
What? I have this rash on my leg, and I don't know if you have it too.
Don't tell me that.
When it's like.
Well, now I'm checking.
Okay. Well, it's like on. It's like. It's on like the inside of my thigh, and I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like if I have it, you should like, it's like, it's not, it doesn't hurt, but it doesn't feel good either.
You think I gave it around?
No, I'm asking if, I don't know who gave it to who. I'm asking if I have it, it's possible you have it, and I'm worried. You don't have a rash? Do you think I have to go to the doctor?
I would.
You would go, you would?
Yeah, I think I would.
You don't even know much about it. What if I'm what if I'm totally fine and I'm making it up?
Send me a pic.
Okay. I'll send you a pic.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, have a good day.
Who is that?
That's the girl I'm dating. I thought she would be more... That, I thought she would be more intense about it because she's kind of a hypochondriac, but she didn't.
If it's someone that you're dating and it's a rash on your inner thigh and you're worried that she gave it to you, I feel like the stakes are higher than I guess that makes sense why you should go to a doctor about it. But
yeah, well, she's worried. She's worried for herself.
What picture are you gonna send her?
Oh, do I have to send a picture?
I don't know. I feel like she's waiting for a picture right now. I think you should send her a selfie with your thumb up.
Oh, I Googled rash and she's just gonna send her. Oh my God, some of these pictures are really scary. Okay. Well, I nailed it. I'm talented. I'm strong.
Yeah.
Truth or dare?
Truth.
Truth. Okay. What? Oh, I had one that I was really excited about. But what was it? Do you know? What's the biggest lie that you haven't been caught for yet?
Well, I guess I'll be caught for it now.
Exactly.
Biggest lie.
It doesn't have to be a big one. It could be little, but just like the most dramatic for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I just tweeted about this actually. I lie a lot because I treat most of life like it's improv. And I don't mean to lie. Just sometimes like I'm in a conversation with someone and I'm like, this is way more interesting than what actually happened. So like, why don't I just say it? And not with like important personal facts, but like if I'm telling a story that's like irrelevant to anything or anyone involved, I'm like, why not just make it better to tell? So that's my relationship with lies. But let's see if I can think of a big one. In childhood, there were a lot of times I fully lied to teachers about like them inputting my grade. I was one of those. I was like Cher from Clueless, and that I would fully argue my way back up to the grades that I wanted. But I would just do it by lying. I would tell them that they had messed something up and like, forge some documents and get so.
Yeah. You know. Okay. I once the worst lie. In that vein that I tried to tell and got absolutely blasted for was I didn't do a paper and I tried to turn one in that I had like passed through Wingdings. Like I had like typed a bunch of random letters, threw it into Wingdings, like did whatever. And it was like, oh, something happened when I went from like my Mac to PC. And they were like, no, it didn't. I was like, oh my God, my paper was deleted when I went Mac to PC. They were like, you're really stupid.
When was this?
Well, if I tell you, it's more embarrassing because it was like junior year of high school.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like that's a high school move for sure. I don't think
I tried. I got caught, but I did try.
Something that I once did was I would make all the periods a greater size font so that it would give me a little padding in a paper. Or
yeah. Find all period change. Yes. I was big on that.
Yeah, like commas, all the punctuation, but yeah,
spaces. Yeah, I was doing a lot with what I had.
Mm-hmm. All right, truth or dare?
Truth. Why not?
Okay, this is also about lying. But have you ever lied on a resume? That's like part one. Part two is: have you ever had to like do the thing that you said you could do but couldn't do, and like had to figure it out? Is there any instance that's ever happened in?
I've mostly white lied. Like, yeah. None of my lie, because I don't know. I guess I haven't had to yet because I had like the same job for a while, but I always say that I can speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And that's been true at times, but I haven't spoken, like, I've been partially fluent in my life.
Yeah.
At this moment, if someone came to me and spoke in like fast Spanish, would I be able to like respond? No. It would take me a minute. I'd be like, can you say that slower? And
yeah.
I'd have to like break it down. And then my response would be really bare bones. But I did have to help lead like a training of like support in other languages thing at my company. And I was like, oh, uh-huh. I can't do that. I'm simply barely speaking Spanish these days. So yeah. That's,
yeah.
I mean, kind of not a juicy answer, but it is unanswered. It's true.
Yeah. Have you ever applied for jobs where they like really wanted someone who spoke Spanish with that.
No, because I'm like, if I have to do this every day, I'm going to be fucked.
Yeah.
And it'll just give me stress. Like, I'll be stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe get fired, but like, that's not even part of it for me. It's like the idea of like having to talk.
Having to do that.
Yeah. Cause I guess it's like one of those things where it's not like fake it till you make it. There's someone that you are talking to that won't understand you. Do you know what I mean? Like I could be like, oh, I know Excel and like not really know Excel, but it's like, okay, you can like do some Googling and like make it.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah.
Speaking a language is like, I mean, babe.
It's like one sec and then you like Google Translate.
Yeah. They're like, we see what you're up to and it's bad.
Uh-huh. I think one day they'll have technology where you can just speak into the phone and it'll spit out.
They have some of that already. It's crazy.
Wow.
I got targeted ads for it.
I'm about to get them after this.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah. There's like apps and stuff.
Maybe I'll, you know, reach out and say, sponsor this podcast apps. Because right now, we can only reach an English listener base, and that's very limiting.
It's so limiting.
Very limiting. I wish that we all could just speak to each other, but we can't.
A universal language.
I think it's food.
I think it's love.
I just think love requires maybe some sort of knowledge of language to get to.
No. Love is the universal language.
I think we're in a feud about this, so.
Is it me? I gotta ask.
Yeah.
All right, truth or dare?
I'll do a dare.
Okay. Read your three oldest drafts on Twitter.
My three oldest drafts on Twitter. Okay. My first one is relevant. Sometimes I'm just walking through the world with a teeny little secret, parentheses, my underwear is so neon it glows in the dark.
Okay.
Number two, when someone asks me where my hometown is, I always say about an hour south of LA because I don't want to admit I grew up in Orange County. That one's not that funny. It's just
true.
and then this one, to make cow's milk, you squeeze the titties. To make almond milk, you squeeze the nuts.
Tweet that one.
Okay, that's part of the dare. Should I keep in this little winky face or not?
Yeah, you have to.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense without it.
Okay, it's out there. All right.
If that goes viral, I wonder what happens for me.
If that goes viral, then I do. I take your note, read the stylist situation, and I under
delete
the
this
table
episode.
Yeah, I did all of it, but it never happened.
Yeah.
Okay, truth or dare.
Oh, do you have a good one for either?
Whatever you want. Yeah.
Ooh. Dare, why not?
Can you go into your phone and go into your screen time and kind of give us a little overview of what you've been spending the most time doing on your phone?
God, I wish it was interesting.
I actually asked Amrit to do this and I caught him with a lot of time spent on OnlyFans. But you know, he proudly owned it. So our progressive short king.
I don't have an OnlyFans account. Like I don't watch.
Yeah, I don't either, but
I don't pay for my porn. And Amr does, and that's awesome for him.
That's why he's a progressive short king.
Exactly. What am I looking at? Screen time. Why won't it? Oh, see all activity. I was like, it won't really tell me. So I'm spending four and a half hours on Instagram, 3 hours on Google Maps, an hour and nine on messages, 59 minutes on TikTok, 42 on Gmail, 41 on Spotify. This one's kind of embarrassing because people don't really know how much I like sports, but 30 minutes on Bleacher Report. So it's kind of lame.
Kind of versatile, I think.
Yeah.
You're covering a lot of bases. Where were you going on Google Maps that you spent that much time?
How long is this by? It's for the week. So I went to the beach twice. So the other day it was like an hour and a half away.
Okay.
And then the next day, it was less than that. It was like 40 minutes away. And then the next day I went to Malibu.
Next to you, the sky is so blue.
In Malibu. Yeah, I went to Malibu, but it was like really cold.
I feel like it's cold there a lot.
It was really cold. It was like 90 in LA. So I was like, okay, we'll go to the beach. We went to Malibu. It was 60 degrees, windy, no sun.
They should go this week because it's hot everywhere, right?
Well, even today, it's 90 here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And in Santa Monica, it's 70.
Because they're on breezy water.
Exactly. Well, so it's 70, like, well, I can't keep going to the beach.
70
it's
cold. Degrees. 70 degrees. Oh, you're getting spoiled.
Yeah, I really am.
Where were you? Were you always in Chicago? Or are you from Chicago? Are you from somewhere else?
I'm from Cleveland. Okay. But I have family. Like, I grew up spending a lot of time in Arizona, which is like hot.
Really hot. But yeah.
Satan's armpit. My mom's trying to get me to go in like a month, and I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of hot in the summer.
Yeah.
December. But no, if I'm going to the beach, I like to be in the water for like a good amount of time, but I don't like to be in the water if I'm not going to get out and be hot. Like, I like to be hot enough where it's refreshing to go in the water. And then also, like, you dry really quick when you get out and you're like,
and you're not cold, you're not soggy,
shivering because you were just wet. You're like, okay, I'm like now toasting again.
There's a short window for that.
Exactly. So it has to be hot out. It can't be in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
High 70s. It could be like 78.
Yeah.
And sunny.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it's too much of a science for me to really know. I just kind of like to sit there and I'll go in the water and then I'll bundle up after. But
I'm really hyperactive. I can't really just lay anywhere.
I don't lay. I like fidget and chat, and people will want to read their book and I'm like, no, we're gonna talk.
Lindsay, who I was with, was like, should I bring a book? And I was like, like, if you want, like, that would be fun, I guess, if you like had a book and you were doing that and then I was, I guess, just watching that happen or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was like, okay, well, bring a book, chill.
It's like the beach is a notorious reading spot and I've never understood it because I have to like squint so hard to make out the pages anyway.
And it's just, I don't like reading, period. So there's that also at play.
Yeah. Wow. We're really technologically
reliant.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Would you like to lay a final truth or dare on me?
What if I did a dare that was just so self-indulgent? I was like, okay, change your name on Twitter to follow Shelby Walt. I did something so like truly insane. Okay. Truth or dare.
I'll do a dare again.
Okay. This one's kind of tedious, so I don't know if I want to give it. But it was going to be to change your voicemail.
Okay. What should I change it to?
I don't know is the thing. I just think it's funny. Caleb, my roommate and friend and podcast co-host, updated his voicemail recently and I didn't know he did it. Okay, this is to give you some fuel.
Okay.
This is some food for thought. I called him and he picked up and it was like, yo, I'm busy. Like, you're blowing up my phone. I'm busy. Leave me alone. Like, it was so hyper casual and also mean that I really did think he was on the phone. So much so that when it beeped, I called back to make sure. it happened again. He was like, dude, I'm in a meeting. And I was like, yeah, no, that reads, but I had to check because you, so something really stupid, like that.
Okay. I'll play you my burnt one.
Hi, it's Yomni. Unfortunately, I can't make it to the phone right now, but if you leave me a message with your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as possible. Thanks. Have a great day.
I feel like I do sound mean in that one too, but
this is almost more embarrassing because it's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But do one of those ones from like seventh grade that was like, hello? I can't really hear you. Hello? Are you there? Got you. I'm not here right now.
Okay. Hello? Hello? Sorry. I think you're breaking up. Hello? Gotcha. I'm not here right now. If you want to reach me, you can call me back at another time and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Hope you're having a great day. Love ya.
It's so embarrassing. It really is. It's such a stupid.
Hello? Sorry. I think you're breaking up. Hello? Gotcha. I'm not here right now. If you want to reach me, you can call me back at another time, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Hope you're having a great day. Love ya.
Okay, well, perfect. There she goes.
You can't change it for at least a little bit.
I'm really excited for like a scam person.
Yeah, I guess when we were doing that, we weren't really getting spam calls from like telemarketers. So no one was really getting.
Yeah, look at
the people getting pranked were like your friends.
Message I just got. It's true. They will. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this.
Thank you for having me.
Episode. Is there anything that you really are dying to let the listeners know before we go?
Oh, guys. I guess follow me on all stuff. It's just my name. And listen to my podcast, Keeping Records.
Just your name. It's your name means
it's
a lot.
So much more than that.
Yeah.
It's at Shelby Wolstein on all platforms because I'm not terribly creative about that. And I have a podcast called Keeping Records. You can listen to that wherever you're listening to this. And you should listen to it and then review it on like Apple Podcasts with only five stars only.
So your homework after listening to this episode, everyone, one, go follow Shelby on everything. Go listen to Shelby's podcast. That's number two. Three, go review Shelby's podcast and also Pillow Fight. So you're reviewing two podcasts. Number four.
So true.
Number four, this is the first thing we assigned you. So you should have already done it, but I'm reminding you again, you have to tag Amar Rizbud and say, hello, short progressive king.
Progressive king. We love our short progressive
king. We love our short progressive king. So that's your homework assignments. I hope.
And if you are a manager, represent me.
Mm-hmm.
Should I start
managers? There's a lot of managers who listen.
Should I start doing that on all platforms? Everything I do, I just go. Yeah. Follow me on everything. If you're a manager, represent me. And really start getting desperate about
it. I would like to say that I have a huge base of managers listening to this podcast, but I think it'd be very sad for me if I did and they just kind of listen and don't have an
they just listen. They just go, good
okay,
stuff.
Well, you know,
love the podcast.
But like you, I don't know about that.
But the podcast is really good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Thank you so much to everyone who listened. Catch you next time. Bye. Hosted on dimlywit.com.